Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to spend these next few minutes with me as we continue on in a message, The Power of Prevailing Prayer, and we are looking at the life, a very significant point in time event in the life of the patriarch Jacob. And we were looking at chapter 28, where he is fleeing for his life from his brother Esau because of the deception where he had basically claimed the birthright. His father had blessed him, and indeed he would have the blessing of the firstborn, which rightfully belonged to Esau. Nonetheless, he was, at the advice of his mom, he was going to spend an indefinite period of time with his uncle Laban, a near relative, if you will. And so he sojourned there for 20 years. And in chapter 32, we see that God had spoken to him. He had been blessed. God had fulfilled his promise. Jacob had vowed a vow, and he said, God, if you're going to do all this, what you've told me, and give me food and clothing, and bring me back safely to my father's house, you'll be my God. And he said, as a result of that, he said, I'll also tithe to you. So he made a covenant with God, if you will. And in chapter 32, he was returning and he saw the angels of the Lord. That was an encouragement because he said, he called it, this is God's host. And they were referred to as two companies, two camps, which indicates the protection of the angelic hosts of heaven, if you will, that God has given to minister to the heirs of salvation. And we may not see them, only as God would open our eyes, as God did for the servant of Elisha. Remember, Elisha was pretty mellow and peaceful about the fact that they were surrounded by the Syrian army. And he prayed God to open the eyes of his servant. And his servant saw what Elisha had been able to see. The mountains were filled with the fiery chariots of the Lord, the angels of the Lord. And so he's encouraged, but he also knows he's going back to see his brother Esau, who had vowed to kill him. And so he basically devises a plan. He's going to send presents on before him, you know, and he does that. And so when they deliver the message, the messengers who have gone on with the various herds of cattle, camels and stuff like that, they said, well, Esau is there, but he's got 400 men with him. That does not sound good. That sounds like an army. And so obviously that caused Jacob to have a great deal of fear. In fact, verse 7 of chapter 32 says, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands. And in verse 8 says, and he said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. So that's where we were at the end of yesterday's broadcast. And now here we are at verse 9. What does Jacob say? Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, his grandfather, his father, the Lord, which says unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Verse 10 says, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shewed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And then he's reminding God of his promise, and thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night, and he took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. He sent 200, these are herds of she-goats, 200 ewes, 220 rams, camels with their colts, and he delivered them. And in verse 17, he commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, he is also behind us." So basically, it says he sent these presents on before him, and he lodged that night in the company, and then he left that company with his family. He rose up in the night, he took his two wives, two women servants, and 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And then, verse 24, he was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. This is just an amazing encounter of God's dealing with man. It was, many scholars believe, it was the pre-incarnate Christ who came down in human form and actually physically wrestled with Jacob. But as we go back to verse 9, as I shared the prayer that he prayed, we see that Jacob is praying to the God of his fathers. And while he had a personal revelation of God at Bethel, observe the covenant he makes with God. In Genesis 28, remember you said, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, will keep me in this way that I go, give me bread to eat, raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." And that word peace, shalom, it means health, security, tranquility, and it's clearly depicted as a satisfied condition, an unconcerned state of peacefulness. And so, what we see happening here, what is going on in this wrestling match, God becomes his. God becomes his personal God. And after his great deliverance, when he is delivered from a warfare and fight with his brother, God just undertakes in an amazing way, as we'll see. He basically, they greet each other. There's no animosity, and it couldn't have been a better meeting after all that time when there had been such vengeance and vindictiveness promised by Esau, his elder brother. So God becomes his personal God. And after this time, when he does depart, he comes to Shalem, a city of Shechem in the land of Canaan. He builds an altar to God, and he calls it El Elohi Israel, the mighty God of Israel. In other words, the mighty God of Jacob, who is now Israel. So let's look at another passage. It's an interesting one, yet difficult to understand, found in Hosea, the 12th chapter, verse 4. Here the scripture says, "Yea," this is referring to Jacob, "he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept." That shows the intensity of his supplication. "He made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel. And there he spake with us, even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial." In other words, that was such an amazing spiritual event, a time of transformation in Jacob's life, that it stands for all time and eternity as being a very significant spiritual crisis, as well as a spiritual moment where faith has victory, has power with God. That Hebrew word is sur, it means to vanquish or contend. And of course, we know this was a time of extreme personal crisis for Jacob. I mean, his life was on the line, the life of all of his loved ones. So let's now go on reading in verse, well, I read 22. Let's take 23. And we'll go through verse 31. And he took them and sent them over, that's his family, and sent over that he had. He was left alone. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, this is the Lord, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Ouch, that could not have been, that must have hurt. And he said, this is the Lord, the angel of the Lord, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Oh, there's so much in this, beloved. We're going to go into it. But I want to read the scripture. Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? Don't you know who you're wrestling with? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Penuel. The sun rose upon him, and he halted or limped upon his thigh. Beloved, this was an amazing encounter. Nowhere in the Word of God have we seen anything quite as dramatic, I think, as this. So what do we see? He was called, changed to Israel, his name was changed. He said, as a prince, that means Israel, to prevail, to strive, to contend, to have power as a prince. And there's only two places in the Old Testament it's used, here and in Hosea 12:4. Jacob's name is changed from a supplanter to Israel, meaning the prince of God, or striver with God. Praise God. Well, beloved, this broadcast has just flown, and I need to bring this broadcast to a close. And we are going to yet continue next week as we look even more closely, continue to examining the lessons we can learn from this. Because as I shared in the opening on Monday's broadcast, that there are many listening that need to be in prevailing prayer, to contend with God, because you are in spiritual crisis, and God is in the process of striving with you and going to transform you from what you've known all the days of your life as a Christian. Praise God. I love you. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.